and it's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor, lurking conservatives, wake up, sheeple. We're broadcasting live from CBGB's in New York's legendary Bowery District. It's the home of underground rock, the home of punk rock. We're at the corner of Bowery and Bleecker. CBGB's is in danger of closing down, folks. So come on down. We need some support. Go to savecbgb.org to find out how you can help. I got to make an announcement right out of the gate. Good morning, Mark Riley. How are you?
Good morning, Mark Maron.
Little Steven has been called in by the mob. He has to, he has to do his bit on The Sopranos this morning, and he's backed out. But that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We've got Richard Hell. We've got Hilly. He's going to come down, the owner of the joint. We got Lawton Smalls.
Yep.
Pendejo, the revolutionary, will be here. We got a band backing us right now. Loxley is here all morning. They're going to be here playing live music in and out of breaks. You can go to bandofloxley.com to hear some song samples and check out their tour dates. We'll introduce you guys in a minute so I don't feel uncomfortable. All right, good. But I'll tell you, though, these guys are my new friends. You're not going to believe it. This, what's your name, dude?
Kai.
He comes up to me. He goes, wait, I know you. And I'm like, yeah, I've been on TV a lot. He's like, no, it's not that. And then it turns out he remembers the Almost Famous bit. Like, he knows the bit. For those of you who don't know, I had a very powerful 45 seconds of cinema in Almost Famous. I'll recapture it for you. Lock the gates! Lock the gates! And they get on a little golf cart. But I just assume that no one ever remembers that. But, of course, a band would. They're like, that's the ass who said lock the gates. That's the promoter guy. What a douchebag. You were a great douchebag. I didn't say that. I'm putting that on this guy. I'm going to be on Conan O'Brien tonight. It's a long day.
This is going to be a forever day for you.
And then I got to fly to Seattle to do Giggles tomorrow night. And I was really hoping Little Steven would show up, because then I could have met two members of the E Street Band, or talked to two members of the E Street Band in one day. Because I don't know Little Steven, but I could have said, dude, I'm going to say hi to Max for you in a little while. I'm going to be on Conan in a few hours.
Look out.
What are you doing this weekend? Tell him about why you're so excited, Riley.
I'm excited. First of all, because I know this area pretty well. I remember when this used to be Skid Row down here. Uh-huh. That's a long time ago, and we don't have to go into that. But this is my weekend.
You're hilarious. You're like, don't even prompt me to go into to what this neighborhood used to be like. And then right out of the gate, pops right back when I was a kid.
Boy. Hey, I used to go to NYU, so I know this area very, very well.
Yeah.
But at any rate.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to Pennsylvania this weekend with my daughter because I follow Drum and Bugle Corps, and this is the beginning of my 2 weekends of great Drum and Bugle Corps activity.
He's a Drum and Bugle Corps freak. Anybody else? Anybody?
Yeah. Anybody?
Drum and Bugle
anybody?
Corps?
Anybody?
Nothing?
No.
All right. One guy. One guy. You got one guy.
Hey, see, he knows.
He knows. He knows exactly what you're talking about. So you want to do some news? You want to talk about CBGBs? This place was.
Let's talk about CBGBs.
All right, this place
was.
For the news. All right, man. This place was founded in 1973. It was originally a venue for country and folk music, as the name implies, of course. In the mid 70s, the club was in decline. So was the Bowery. That's about the time you had friends here, right?
No. The Bowery was the symbol, nationwide symbol of decline since the 30s. Remember the Bowery Boys?
Yeah.
That was in this neighborhood.
The Dead End Kids.
Leo Gorcey and all of those
Hunts
people.
Hunts Hall.
Hunts Hall, that was all the Bowery. This
sure.
was the symbol of poverty for the entire country until the South Bronx came along.
Right. And then, but wasn't there a time where this was a symbol of heroin and fun?
Well, that was later.
Yeah, all right. So Hilly Kristal, the guy who's going to be on the show, he owns the place, allowed the band Television, one of the founding members of Television, Richard Hell, will be here in a little while. He's not playing. That was a mistake. Hey, take it easy. The guy, he doesn't do that anymore. He's a writer, and he's going to reflect on the early days of this place. So the time that this all shifted was in the early 70s. Patti Smith Group. The Patti Smith Group began performing here at the club, and that was when everything became punk. And apparently, I didn't realize this, but Malcolm McLaren, the dude who designed the Sex Pistols.
The Sex Pistols, yeah.
Actually ripped off Richard Hell's look. Like, he came down here, saw Television, saw the Voidoids, and said, I'm going to go, you know,
Malcolm McLaren knew how to pimp off original style better than anybody I've ever seen before.
Pimp off original.
He did the same thing with a hip-hop group. I can't even remember the name of them, but I interviewed him and the group one time. He was always looking for something new, and then he would take it, steal it, twist it, and make a whole bunch of money off it.
But for those of you who are out there in the country that have never been here, this is a very important landmark here in New York, and they're threatening to close it down because... basically, they're liking, they're depicting it as if this place hasn't paid the rent, but that's not true. This place has always paid their rent. There was a rent increase. There was an addition to the rent that wasn't reported to the owner of CB's, and they did not know that they had to pay that, so now they owe this money, but it's not back rent. It was an increase that was not brought to their attention and interest, and the landlord apparently can shut this down, so we need people to go to that website, to cbgb.org, and, you know, and understand what's going on, and maybe write the mayor, write to whoever needs to be written to, because what ultimately will happen is that if they close this place down, they're changing the neighborhood. They're trying to make, this is going to be the new...
Changing the neighborhood? I ended up on the corner of the Bowery and Houston Street on my way over here, and I see this gigantic condo right on the corner.
This is, go to savecbgb.org. Sorry, I didn't mean to screw that up. There's a giant condo on the corner, went up
well,
overnight.
Well, yeah, and, you know, there are going to be condos all along this corridor. The Bowery is going to be the symbol of grit chic.
Are you talking about that mirrored place right over there?
Well, there's over there, and there's another one down the block, two blocks south of here.
And they took the giant twirling cube out of Astor over there.
They took that out?
It's gone, isn't it, the twirling cube?
Bastards.
Man, that was like that was big fun at 3 in the morning when you were high when I was younger. You know, you just go around, twirl that cube around, and go, dude, we made it move.
Yeah.
Because you didn't know it would move until someone else did it. And you're like, it does move. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to miss that. So,
Which part are you going to be?
Yeah, I don't know. All of it. You know, there's a story that we got today about how some study in Australia said that drinking actually makes your brain work better. That's all I need. I'm coming up on 6 years sober in about a week. And now, of course, the brain is going, it's like, wow, maybe I'd be a better radio show host if I just drank in the morning. Maybe that would be...
And I think there's somebody behind the bar here at CBG.
Oh,
I don't know
you.
If it's legal.
Who are you, yeah. Satan? All right, so... So that huge mirrored condo thing over there, I didn't even know where the hell that came
from.
That's
either a new condo or an NYU dormitory.
I think it's a new condo for about $1 million a pop, and I just it went up overnight. I think they actually have these weird seeds that they just stick in the ground, these weird space-age-looking seeds that sprout condos. Is that possible?
Well, if it's in Manhattan below 59th Street, it's probably likely because they're going up everywhere.
Do you think I should start drinking today? Wouldn't that be exciting for everybody just to watch a train wreck? Like Bob Novak? That would be weird, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I guess Maron didn't want that job. He got all wasted. And this is the right place to do it. It was certainly a great place to end a career. What's that? I will walk off the set. I will sit here and humiliate myself in front of you until you have to carry me out. I'm all about that. I'm not about leaving like Novak the wuss.
Oh, man. Look, we'll get into that because I believe that he calculated the entire thing.
He's
a punk.
Okay, he's a punk. And he calculated the whole thing. Basically, if you don't know what's going on, Bob Novak stormed off the set of Inside Politics because Carvel made a jab at him that didn't seem like that big a deal, but they were about to talk about the plane leak and his part in it, and he just mysteriously said, bull, and then left.
You ever ride down an expressway and you're looking for an exit? And you're looking.
He saw his
exit.
And
you're looking. And finally, you see this little side road that maybe the maintenance crew uses to get off the road. That's what Bob Novak did last night. He found his exit ramp over some trivial nonsense. These people, allegedly, are professionals. They've been arguing for years, and they took that little trivial bit of nonsense, and he stormed off. He calculated everything. His mama calculated his birth.
I'm disappointed, man. I'm disappointed. I was really hoping that he was starting to snap. You know what
No,
I mean?
He's not
wouldn't
starting
have been,
to
wouldn't
snap.
It have been better if he just said, you know, bull crap, and, like, ripped his clothes off and started dancing around. All right, Loxley, let's hear some music to take us out here. Let's begin the party. Here we go. This is the band Loxley. You can go to loxley.com to hear some samples and check out their tour dates.
Yeah, let's hear it for them, y'all.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Morning Sedition.
It's just to wake up.
Mark Maron and Mark Riley.
I've heard about those people.
On Air America Radio.
Thanks.
Past the hour, it's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hey!
You're listening to Air America Radio's Morning Sedition program. Wake up, sheeple. We're broadcasting live from CBGB, New York's legendary home of underground rock, punk music. As you hear, that's the Stooges blaring in the background there as we're coming back from the break. I got to clear some stuff up here. The band that we have playing behind us is called Loxley, but their website is bandofloxley.com. Why is that, fellas?
Well, we tried to get Loxley.com, which okay. is natural because it's our name, but actually a white supremacist has the URL of Loxley.com.
So,
we don't confuse anyone and think that we have, you know.
Yeah, our poor listeners are out there going, wait, hate the Jews? I don't understand. I thought this was Morning Sedition.
It's okay, I'm Jewish, so I can make that joke.
Yeah, I can make it too. I'm Jewish too, and I hate you.
Likewise.
Okay, you know where it comes from? We all hate ourselves. So that's it's a tribal thing.
So, our manager's Jewish too.
Is he?
Yeah.
Well, that's of course God. He is. Yeah. That's a no-brainer, isn't it? What else is he going to be? Anyways, so let's introduce the band. I'm the Rickenbacker guitar. What's your name, buddy?
Jesse.
All right. Kai on the epiphone. All right. The big style epiphone, the John Lennon style epiphone. You are on the bass.
Aaron
on the big bass that I don't know. I don't know what kind of bass it is.
Moserite bass. Actually.
It's a Moserite bass. I'm out of the loop, man. And, of course, on the drums.
Sam!
Sam on the drums.
Yeah.
Loxley will be playing us in and out of what we're doing here all morning long. We're going to have the dog of the week coming up in a few minutes. But right now, sometimes when you read the headlines, it can be tough to figure out just exactly what the mainstream media is saying. Thank God we brought the iNews 5000 down here to translate some headlines. Here's Brendan live on the intro. Okay. From the Financial Times, Bush wants alternatives to Darwinism taught in schools. Translation, Bush wants alternatives to truth taught in schools. Okay, wait. I'm going to run it through again. Bush wants alternatives to Darwinism taught in schools. Here's another translation. Okay. President's 40-year plan to pay back mean biology teacher fulfilled. From the Associated Press, Bush welcomes Colombian President Uribe at ranch. Bush welcomes Colombian President, you know where this is going, don't you? Uribe at ranch. Translation, President reminisces with old dealer. it's rough, right? Right.
You're rough, man.
From Reuters, Bill Clinton talks with black journalists. So let's put that in the machine. Bill Clinton talks with black journalists. Translation, black journalist convention features free buffet. Would be this. So I gotta say to the band, you know, this was you're living my actual dream. I never got it.
You're on Air America Radio every day, though, right?
Yeah, I know. Well, I love doing that, but there's still part of me that thinks if this doesn't work out, I can always play in a band. How sad is that? I'm 41 years old, and there's some place in my head, and that's after a career as a comic and now a radio personality, but in my head it's like, man, if this doesn't work out, I can always start that band.
Ah, there you go.
You just had a face for radio, Mark.
Yeah, oh! Wow, I'm taking it from the guitar player.
You're kidding.
Hey, who's playing for breakfast on
band
the station?
Band of
You got me. You got me.
That's all right. This is probably about what you're used to playing for, except a few less, right? Am I wrong?
Yeah, it's a...
Oh, too much.
We've won three, and that's a staple.
Yeah. So. Yeah, you guys have a tough job, and I respect it, and I'm serious. It was always my dream to do that, but I still just play stinky blues riffs to records in my apartment. So there you go. You can feel happy about that.
You do the same thing.
You do? So you guys get to sleep till like noon.
Right.
How many of you guys have been up actually all night?
Four.
What are the odds of that? All four. Pretty good. All right, so let's. You want to talk about Bob Novak?
Yeah, why not?
All right, so he's on Inside Politics. He's with James Carville. He's with that host guy. What's his name?
Henry. Ed Henry.
Ed Henry. And we've actually got a transcript of it because it's sort of hard to hear, but we'll let you hear it. Because, okay, so Novak, it says to James Carville, he basically says, let me just finish, James, please. I know you hate to hear me, but you have to. This is kind of fun that they do, the two weirdos. All right, so Carville, he says he's got to show, here's his Carville, he says he's got to show these right-wingers that he's got a backbone, you know. It's why the Wall Street Journal editorial page is watching you, show them that you're tough. And then Novak just goes, well, I think that's bull. And he just gets up, he goes, I hate that, and he gets up and he splits. Can we hear it? Yeah, we'll play. Okay, we're gonna. Okay, we'll come back and play it. That's a good idea, Brendan. We'll actually play it after the break. Sorry, it's a rock and roll show, man. It's a little loose, man. We're ripping. It's garage time. But now you think it's all calculated. Now, when I watched it twice. I realized that there was some calculation in it. But you don't think at all that Bob Novak is starting to feel like the wuss that he is. That the pressure's on. That he's starting to come unglued a little bit. That there's a chance he's snapping.
No, he's senile.
Damn.
He's nuts. I mean. I remember, I've been watching Bob Novak on and off for the better part of 20 years. And if you see him and you hear him now, you realize that in sports parlance, he has lost a few steps. And that's why he's really, I mean, first of all, that's why he allowed himself to get caught up in this plane thing in the first place. And now he really, and the important part of all this is that Ed Henry told him ahead of time, I'm going to ask you about the plane situation. He told him he was going to do that, and Novak went into overdrive at that point and decided, look, I'm not doing this. I am not getting up in front of these people. And he didn't want to do the traditional no comment. That really looks bad on that kind of show.
Oh, so he did the untraditional, I'm just going to leave like a baby?
Yep.
I mean, that... I mean,
because he knows he's going to get coverage for all that. First of all, it keeps his face in the news. That's number one. Number two, it means that it's an easy way to deflect having to answer that particular question.
It's 27 past the hour. Let's get Lockley to take us out a little bit.
Yeah.
We're listening to Morning's Edition. It's Air America Radio. We're live from CBGB's. We'll play that Novak thing after the break. Stay with us.
Tradition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley on Air America Radio.
Past the hour, Air America Radio's Morning Edition. I'm Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley. We're broadcasting live from CBGB, New York's legendary home of punk rock at the corner of Bowery and Bleecker. CB's is in danger of closing down. Go to savecbgb.org to find out how you can help. We got live music. We got Loxley playing behind us. You can go to their website, bandofloxley.com. I said Lockley before I felt bad, and I've been calling James Carville, James Carvel. And, of course, Pashman comes up and goes, that's an ice cream place.
Sunday. Every day is Sunday at Carvel Ice Cream.
Remember that guy? What was it? Is he dead?
Tom Carvel, yeah.
Is he alive still, that
no,
guy?
No, he's dead.
Oh, I feel bad now. Not really. Yeah, he was all right. I like Carvel. Anyway, so let's play this sound from Bob Novak. This is him walking off the set of Politics Tonight. Is that Inside Politics.
Politics.
Sorry, buddy. This is James Carville and Bob Novak. And as I said, this if you can't hear what Carvel is saying to him. All right, this is what he said. I'm going to quote him. He's got to show these right-wingers that he's got a backbone. You know, it's why the Wall Street Journal editorial page is watching you. Show them that you're tough. And then Novak responds with this. Let's hear that.
I've seen these Republican anti-establishment candidates who do pretty well. Ronald Reagan, I guarantee you the establishment wasn't for him. We just elected a senator from Oklahoma, Senator Tom Coburn. Everybody in the establishment was against him. She might get elected. Let me finish what I'm going to say, James, please. I know you hate to hear me, but you have to see.
He's got to show these right-wingers that he's got backbone. You know, that's right. The Wall Street Journal editorial page is watching you. Show them you're tough.
Well, I think that's bullshit. I hate that. Just let it go.
Okay, James, what do you think, though, seriously about this Senate race, James, that basically the
He should have been wearing diapers. That would have made that better.
What a
Novak
weasel. What a chiseling little weasel.
Didn't even have the guts to own up to being interviewed about the plane week because he's on the hot seat, and, you know, and he just – I'm not disappointed in him. I'm glad he made a fool out of himself. But I'll tell you, you know, it's unbelievable to me that he just stormed off like a big child, a big old lizard child that he is.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Either he makes a fool out of himself by walking off, or he makes a fool out of himself when the question eventually gets asked.
Yeah. Well, we're going to, you know what we're going to do now, Riley? You know what time it is?
Uh-oh.
It's time for the Mark Riley's Dog of the Week.
Uh-oh. Well, you know, Mark,
This
has been a really fertile week for dogs.
Yeah.
After all, the South Koreans just cloned one, and that's surely good enough for an honorable mention. So, too, is baseball's Rafael Palmeiro, who's gone from surefire Hall of Famer to possible perjury defendant all this week. And how about that, Bob Novak? The little pundit gnome walked off that CNN news program after that little dance with James Carville. Yet this week's dog is none of these. When an idiot slams a colleague, it's hard not to react personally. So I won't try. The right-wing advocacy group misnamed Accuracy in Media has decided to pin the low ratings of MSNBC's The Situation with Tucker Carlson on our own Rachel Maddow, host of The Rachel Maddow Show here on Air America. Yeah. Ames editor Cliff Kincaid went even further, describing Rachel as a lesbian with hair so short she looks like a man. And that's a direct quote. All this from an organization that claims to be nonpartisan. Accuracy in Media has been at the forefront of the bash the liberal media brigade for decades now. They'd almost be comical if it weren't for their personal slam against my homegirl, Rachel. Earlier this week, I suggested renditioning for Ames' Cliff Kincaid. That is, a quick trip to a friendly country that employs torture. Even that seems too good for him and his low-life fellow travelers. Cliff Kincaid and Accuracy in Media, you'd need a stepladder to tie Rachel Maddow's shoes, and you are the Morning Sedition Dog of the Week.
That was a good one there, Riley.
Hey, what can I tell you? Friday.
Yeah, it's good, man. So, look, here's some more good news. The New York Civil Liberties Union filed a suit yesterday against the city to keep police from searching the bags of subway riders.
Yeah!
The suit was filed in U.S. District Court in Manhattan, claims that the new policy of random bag searching violates constitutional guarantees of equal protection and prohibition against unlawful searches and seizures while doing almost nothing to shield the city from terrorism. It argues that the measure also allows the possibility for racial profiling, even though the cops are ordered to do it randomly. They say the searches are overreaching. We've known that, but I got to admit, I'm not going to perjure myself here. The day after that they started doing that, there was a moment I had where I felt kind of better that it was happening. I'm not going to say that I didn't.
Well, I got to tell you, let Pops Riley enlighten y'all about something. Had this happened back in the day, people would have been giving the cops the finger as they turned around and walked out of the train station. They wouldn't have taken this crap lying down. And one of the plaintiffs in this NYCLU lawsuit, a guy by the name of Joseph Gehring Jr., who is a lifelong Republican, says he's disappointed that subway riders are taking this crap from people.
We've been pummeled down by fear is what's happened, is that the reason why we even accepted, I think it started with the airports. I think we had a call yesterday that brought that up, and I think that they were right, is that once we were forced to accept that, unless you didn't want to travel on airplanes, unless you didn't want to go anywhere to resist those searches, I think that put the gear in place to where people said, well, this is just the way it is now. This is the way it has to be.
But see, here's the thing, and this is true of the airlines and it's true of the subway system. If you don't use them, they will go broke. So if you don't fly on, if a large number of people in the American public said, hey, we're not going to submit to this, we're just not going to fly, or if a lot of people here in New York said, you know what, we're not going to take this, we are going to curtail all of our subway riding except for commuting back and forth to work, they'd feel the economic impact of this and perhaps they'd rethink it. Now, it is important that there is a visible law enforcement presence in the New York City subway system. I do not disagree with that. But I do believe that these random bag searches, whether, you know, Dove Hyken says that they should be racially profiled or whether they're just at random, they are a stunt. They do not really have the opportunity. In some cases, you're going to find some people that may be carrying a few bags of herb, or some people are going to be carrying some other kinds of stuff. You're not generally going to find people carrying bombs.
The dominatrix on her way to work.
Work, yeah.
Yeah.
How many feather boas can you fit in that backpack?
Yeah, we're just sitting there comparing handcuffs with the cops. What kind do you use? Yeah, I got these. These are the newest ones.
Yeah, I just got these at the store up here on 3rd Avenue.
But, Riley, I think that it seems to me that if you decided to protest airlines, it would be really awful if you have a meeting, like in California, like, oh, the quickest I can get there is probably a week.
Hey. That's why we've got virtual
meetings.
You shut
the whole country down. That's right. That's
we've
true.
Got, this is the 21st online. Century. We've got the ability to do an awful lot of things without having to travel. Now, I'm not advocating for that. I do believe, you know, that it does reinforce people's safety, but they ought to, you know, call it what it is. It is a way to make people feel safer.
Yeah, and it's also a way to show that we will surrender to fear, and I think that's true. I think that you can resist it, and it's good that at least people are fighting it, that the ACLU is doing that. And also, I think I actually saw, I can't confirm this, but I think I saw, has anyone seen undercover cops at the subway entrances? I did. You think you did too? See, now maybe I'm in a heightened state of paranoia. But I swear to God, I saw two guys looking at me in that way, you know, like, is he all right? You know, but I don't know which way it was. I'm assuming that they're undercover cops, so I haven't gotten any proof of that. Is that possible? It's possible.
Oh, it's entirely.
It was on 49th Street.
Well, look, you know, undercover cops in New York look a lot more like regular people than they used to.
Not when there's two of them.
Oh, you know, no. Like, well, if they got the black shoes and the white socks.
No, but I mean, they just had two guys standing outside the subway, like, you know, all right, let him go. You know what I mean? They may have just been
out for your Metro card. You never know.
No, but I don't know. I think they might have been out for my. I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe. I think that's it.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I was going there, but I didn't quite know how to get there. But I appreciate your support on that one. So I was being cruised. I wasn't being surveilled.
No, not at all.
I guess I'm. Sometimes I don't always pick up on the signals. Because God knows if I knew that, I would have went home with them immediately.
Still in your experimental phase, huh?
No. I was just making a joke because there's people here. All right, so let's talk a little bit about CBG. All right, no, definitely not. CBGB's is in a bit of trouble. They don't owe back rent. What's going on here is that there were increases in the rent that they weren't informed of by the landlord, so they have to pay that, and they have to pay interest on that. The landlord who owns this building is he wants to shut it down primarily to jack up the rent. This is a 12-year lease. It's coming up for renewal in August.
Yeah.
And the assumption is that he wants to, you know, jack up the rent because the neighborhood is changing to such a degree that he can make a lot more money, and he can also rationalize the fact that we don't need CBs, I don't need to honor that. I have a homeless shelter upstairs.
Well, see, this is going on all over New York City, and all the people in our audience here today know this. There is a battle going on between people who have stuck it out in neighborhoods that were, back in the day, really bad like this one, against people who now see this as the last bastion of opportunity and money-making in the city of New York. So there are people who say, look, we need to keep these places, we need to keep things, at least a few institutions and communities, you know, that have a tangible tie to the past. Other people really don't care. What they want is the dollar. And that's going to be a battle. It's playing out here. It's playing out in Harlem. It's playing out in neighborhoods all over New York City. And it's playing out because the value of real estate is skyrocketing, not just in New York, but all over America. And sooner or later, people, again, just like with the subways, you got to take a stand. You got to say this far and no further. And CBGB's is a great place to do that.
It's weird when you... Yeah.
I'll be guest lecturing at the new school.
I've done road gigs with Riley, man. When he's got people, he locks in, man. He's a motivator. Beautiful.
Yeah, right. I'm going to become a man of the cloth.
I knew we were moving towards that. That's with all the, I knew that.
Hey, what can I tell?
Pops Riley, Preacher Riley. That's what we're going to get. Hey, folks, we got Mark the Shark coming up. We've got, as I mentioned, I'm going to be at Giggles tomorrow night in Seattle. I apologize. Little Steven has canceled on us. He's got to do the Sopranos. Loxley's going to play us out here. It's 45 past the hour. Stay with us. Air America's Morning Sedition.
another time. I've turned it over in my mind. The punishment will fit the crime.
Edition on the air and online. MorningsEdition.com. Air America Radio.
Mark Maron here with Mark Reilly.
Yeah.
On Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio. That was a little choppy, I guess. It's hard to manage a rock club, my friend.
Yes, it is.
We're broadcasting live from CBGB's here in New York City. It's the legendary home of punk rock at the corner of Bowery and Bleecker. CB's is in a little danger of closing down, so you can go to savecbgb.org to find out how you can help. That's, let's say,
hey, Maron,
yes.
Maron, we have somebody here in the audience. He said he wanted to talk to you.
Okay.
What's your name, sir?
Hi, Mark and Mark. This is Ted from Nebraska.
Uh-oh.
President Bush was exactly right to appoint John Bolton, even though that obstructionist Congress couldn't seem to pass him.
Oh, no, it's happening. Oh, no, I hate when this... help me, Riley. Oh, my God. Oh, no, it's happening. My thoughts are starting to change. I'm becoming him. Oh, no.
Now, Pennsylvania.
Live from Radio Halliburton, it's Right and Early, the conservatives' way to wake up with Mark the Shark Maron.
Good morning, neocons. Hey, it's Mark the Shark live at CBGB. Step into the shark tank, people, and ask me some questions. Do you feel lucky? Well, do you, punk? Yeah, what do you want?
Mark the Shark, I was thinking. Uh-huh. President Bush's recent appointment of John Bolton could undermine his effectiveness in the United Nations.
Well, you know, you can go back and forth on this all day, and it was unusual for him to bypass the Congress, but my basic feeling on this would be mandate.
Yeah, but what about...
USA! USA! UN sucks! UN sucks!
But
sit down now! Sit down now! You're a loser! Hey, I hope I cleared that up for you. How about you, little missy? Mark the Shark believes in diversity.
Mark the Shark, why does Bush have to take such long vacations?
Oh, why does Bush have to take such long vacations? I'm a girl and I know nothing about the demands placed on important people. I think I'll go shopping and then get an abortion.
Actually, I'm an attorney.
Woo, I love Sean Cassidy and getting makeovers and sitting in the tub eating bonbons. Oh, he's just not that into me.
God, I thought she'd never shut up. Women! Wow!
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, no kidding. Who's next? Hey, take the stud out of your tongue, freak. Got a question?
Bush rocks!
What? Good question. Got a follow-up?
Bush rules!
Get on with it, man!
What are we supposed to say now? The struggle against violent extremism or the war on terror?
Wait, listen up, patriot. What does this sound like?
War?
How about this?
War!
Or this?
War!
Or this?
Yeah, Patriot, I hit the wrong button, but that's war on terror is what you're looking for. War on terror. War! 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 War!
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Stick around, neocons. We'll be back with Toby Keith.
Don't touch that dial, Patriot. We'll be back with Right and Early.
Are you okay?
I just had some sort of flashback, man. I was, I don't know what went on here, but when I passed out, I was in the bathroom at CB's with some guy doing blow, but that was different. That was That was weird, man. So let's get on with this. Let's talk about this a little bit. The NASA shuttle is up. They told the shuttle they're not going to have to make more repairs, but more importantly, folks, the world is ending. Commander Eileen Collins, following flying her fourth shuttle mission, said astronauts on shuttle Discovery had seen widespread environmental destruction on Earth, and they can see it from space, Riley.
Yeah.
They can see deforestation. They can see that the atmosphere is thin. They can see all this stuff from space, and they were basically saying, we've got to do something, but they certainly got the wrong president for that.
Well, see, it's interesting that, you know, a couple of astronauts can speak the truth about what they see, and it automatically becomes political because our president can't spell the word environment. We're talking about a situation here where the United States should be taking the lead, and they're not doing that. We are not doing that because of this man that we elected to two terms.
This is a guy that, you know, in a 2002 report by the Environmental Protection Agency found human activities are, that the report found human activities are behind change that is having significant effects on the environment. Bush dismissed that as a quote put out by the bureaucracy. What the hell does that even mean?
Well,
he wouldn't put the caps on carbon monoxide emissions. This guy has done nothing but to accelerate global warming.
Well, his friends produce carbon monoxide. His friends are involved in polluting
the earth.
Hot air? Yeah, that too. And his friends are the ones that he's protecting by opposing these environmental changes.
Well, the problem is like, you know, I want to get into this a little later, but, you know, a couple of years ago, an entire piece of the Arctic shelf in Antarctica fell off. We'll get into that a little later. Loxley's going to play us out here. It's 57 past the hour. We got Lawton Smalls coming up. Hilly Crystal will be here. We're live from CBGB's here in New York City on Bowery and Leaker. Stay with us. It's Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Yeah.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Hour. Good morning. It's Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hey.
We're broadcasting live from CBGB in New York City. This is the legendary home of punk rock at the corner of Bowery and Bleecker. We have live music here all morning. Compliments of Loxley. You can go to their website, bandofloxley.com, to hear some song samples and check out their tour dates. Wow, man, I got a busy day, Riley.
Yeah, I know.
I don't want to toot my own horn, but I got to do Conan O'Brien in a couple hours.
Whoa.
And then I'm going to go to Seattle tonight. I'll be performing at Giggles Comedy Club in Seattle. Tomorrow night, two shows. Go to GigglesComedyClub.com for tickets. How about that? Air America has launched a petition demanding that President Bush fire Karl Rove.
Yeah.
Go to airamericaradio.com/Rove to sign the petition. In a few minutes, we're going to talk to Hilly Crystal, owner of CBGB's. He's going to join us to discuss the history of the place and the campaign to save CBGB's. A lot of people don't realize this place has been around for 33 years, just about. Founded in 1973, man.
That's
1973,
right.
Originally a venue for country music and folk music. And, of course, that sort of tuckered out. And then in the mid-70s, the club was about to crash as the Bowery and the folk music revival was crashing. And Hilly Crystal allowed the band Television to begin playing late Sunday night shows, eventually expanding to other nights of the week. This was a turning point for the club. Then Patti Smith came in. And, of course, we have all those great bands that started here, Blondie, the Talking Heads, Television, Richard Hell and the Boydoids, New York Dolls. I know I'm missing about 100.
Oh,
of course, the Ramones. People wearing Ramones shirts that are like, dude, please, a little respect, huh? A little respect. I think you should have started that list with the Ramones, but I'm not going to have a beef with that. But if you forget them, that's it.
You know what's great about this neighborhood now, though, Mark? You come over here early this morning, And you figure there's not going to be a whole bunch of people on the street or whatever. You look up and down the Bowery, there are little knots of people standing in front of little doorways that house little clubs at like 5 o'clock, 5:30 in the morning. It's like rush hour for people.
Very little clubs. Very like you have some clubs, only see three people. Very exclusive clubs.
Yeah.
You really need to know the guy at the door to get in.
Yeah, but they all got bars and they all let you get stinking drunk all night long.
I'll think this will have to. What determines whether something's a club? If it's just a guy's studio apartment with two bottles of booze,
it's a club.
It is?
Yeah.
I've been to a lot of those clubs.
Yeah. I mean, you got to realize New York, when times are tough in New York, people improvise and they start giving these little rent parties and stuff. So anything can be a club.
Can I do a little buzzkill? Because I feel like I didn't get to finish something before the break in talking about the shuttle. I also want to make clear to people who are coming down or here right now, little Steven has been called by the mob. He has to shoot Sopranos. He's not going to be here. I apologize. He will, of course, not be here. Sometimes you just got to keep talking. Isn't that right, Riley?
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
So the same year that a report by the Environmental Protection Agency found human activities are behind climate change that is having significant effects on the environment, as I said, President Bush dismissed the report as saying it's put out by a bureaucracy. In that same year, this is something they can see from space, okay, an ice shelf 3,250 square kilometers in area and 220 meters thick broke away from the eastern Antarctic Peninsula, eventually disintegrating into icebergs. Dude, anything that disintegrates into icebergs has got to be a problem.
Yeah, a big problem.
My God. See, the event has no precedent in the past 11,000 years, and this is because of Republican policy, this is because of bad environmental policy, and it's also because of people who don't seem to realize that this is really happening. And I think that the impending sort of nature of this in my voice is because I watched that dumb movie again. What is it, The Day After Tomorrow? The movie that I ruined for half the country in my first movie review on the air.
Yes.
I told him the ending. It's a horrible movie, but man, it's cool to watch the day. Ooh. Was that me? It must have been some IA. Thank you.
That's such a tingle there.
So, yeah, it's amazing how hacky I can become in almost seconds. Do I have a tumor or is that? All right, anyways. Here we go. There are lots of big stories in the news this week, so it's time to get some bets down with our own Inside the Beltway odds maker, Johnny K Street. Johnny.
Yeah.
Gabba gabba, hey baby.
It's great to be here at Stevie's, huh?
Oh, it's great to be here. I'll tell you, Mark, this is incredible. This is absolutely incredible.
Hey, Johnny, I see you're rocking that chain again, the big dollar sign chain.
Like that, huh?
Yeah.
Bada bling, baby.
So you haven't been to Stevie's before, buddy?
Oh, are you kidding me? I used to come here back in the day, you know.
Wait, dude. Were you a punk?
Was I what?
No, I didn't mean anything by that. I meant...
What, you want to get smacked or what? Johnny K was never a punk, baby. But the Ramones were always my favorite band. I'll tell you that. They were the best. Yeah. The Ramones and Jerry Vale. That's all I listen to. I always wondered why they didn't make an album together. You know?
Jerry Vale and the Ramones. I had no idea you were a Ramones fan, man.
Oh, I'm a big Ramones fan, let me tell you. Check it out, baby.
Uh-oh. He's taking his shirt off. Oh, yeah.
What am I going to say?
Sporting the Ramones
Come
t-shirt.
On. Whatever.
So, well, all right, you got a Ramones t-shirt on under the jacket.
That's
that looks
right.
Good.
Little story,
yeah,
if
what
I
do you
may.
Got?
You know, I met the Ramones once.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, right here at CBGB's. I met the Ramones. I told them I liked their music. They asked me what I did. I told them, I'm a money collector, so to speak. I told them how I collected it. The next night, Beat on the Brat with a baseball bat was born. So, you know, dedicated to yours truly, if I might. You know, I had a little thing with Blondie, too.
Yeah? With Blondie?
I don't kiss and tell. It's all going to be in my book.
Wait a minute. You've got a book coming out, Johnny?
Yes, I do. Since I started appearing on your show, I've had several offers. My book's going to be coming out soon. It's going to be called You Bet My Life, the Johnny K Street Store. I'm writing it myself. It's my biography.
Whoa, wait a minute, Johnny. If you write yourself, it's an autobiography.
What are you, a wise ass or what today? God, if you're so smart, how come you owe me money?
All right.
Hey, Johnny.
All right.
Johnny, I noticed you were a little late getting here this morning. What, you oversleep or something?
All right, I didn't want to go into this, but I took the subway.
Yeah.
And I got searched.
Oh. Wow.
Were you carrying a backpack?
Yeah, I was carrying a backpack, a lunchbox, and a note from my teacher. Come on, what are you talking about? Backpack. Yeah, it's kind of weird. You know what I mean? What do I look like? Cat Stevens? Give me a break, you know? It's, do I look like a threat to anybody? Come on. Do I look like a suspicious character? Those guys cavity search me. Who gets cavity searched before they go on? The last time I got searched like that, they deloused me and gave me an orange jumpsuit. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, wait, were these two guys up by 49th Street? Because I think I saw the same two guys. Anyways, well, I'm sorry to hear that, buddy. So let's make some money. Where's the action, man?
Okay, I got Bush action, of course. You know what I mean? George W. Bush, you heard of him?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. He hasn't been around too much lately. Mm-hmm. So I got Bush action. The president is on his 50th vacation at his ranch right now. Because he works a lot.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He thinks he's a cowboy.
Uh-huh.
Closest he ever been to being a cowboy is being a horse's ass, in my opinion. That's just my opinion, you know. Every time he goes to that ranch, something stupid happens, you know. Now, we all know he's going to fall off the bike again.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. The question is, how many times?
Yeah.
100 to 1 once?
Yeah.
500 to 1, 10 times?
Okay.
1,000 to 1, over a dozen times.
All right, I'm down for 5 yards. He falls off at least 5 times.
Okay. Hey, that sounds good, man. Put me down for a yard, huh?
All right, that sounds good. Like Wyatt Earp would say, you're covered, okay? Yippee-yi-yo-ki-yay. 500 to 1, Bolton, Karl Rove, and Cheney visit Bush. They dress up like a sheriff and a posse, right? They tell Michael Wilson to come out to the ranch, then they try to lynch him. All right, so... They Joe ambush Wilson, him and lynch him.
It's not that far-fetched. I'll put 1,000 down on that. All right, Johnny?
All right. Here's all my right. Hot tip of the week.
Okay.
My hot bit of the week. I'm
all
taking
right.
action on this right after the show.
Okay.
All right? Now, we all seen the clip of Robert Novak losing it on CNN when James Carville made him his bitch.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Before the weekend is over, Novak goes off the deep end. He gets loaded and kills a male prostitute. In a plea bargain, he names James Carville as a secret source in the Valerie Plame scandal. Carville backs him up. Bush pardons Novak and sentences Carville to death.
Wow.
That's going off at even money. If I were you, I'd be getting some money down on that. And if I was James Carville, I'd be getting a plastic surgeon. You know what I mean?
Oh, man.
Which isn't a bad idea. You ever see the face on that guy? Oofa. I got to get a cap. Thank you very much,
Johnny
ladies and gentlemen.
Johnny
K. Street. Nice to be here.
We got the Loxley. He's going to kick us out here. It's 15 past the hour. We got Hilly Crystal, the owner of CBGB. He's going to give us a little history and tell us what's going on with the club. Morning Sedition, Air America Radio.
Wow!
Morning Sedition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley.
Is it possible for you to shut the f*** up for 10 seconds?
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Mark Maron here, Mark Riley there.
Hey!
It's Morning Sedition on Air America Radio, broadcasting live from CBGB, New York's legendary home of punk rock at the corner of Bowery and Bleecker. CB's is in danger of closing. You can go to savecbgb.org to find out how you can help. Also, we're giving away subscriptions to Film Movement. Visit filmmovement.com. That's the place where you get a new independent film every month and some other stuff. And we're going to give away some subscriptions to that. We also have the band Loxley is playing for us all morning.
Yeah.
Coming out of the breaks. You can go to bandofloxley.com I will be at Giggles Comedy Club in Seattle, Washington tomorrow night. So come on down for that. You can go to giggles comedy club.com to check that out. As we've said, we're here this morning at CBGB's, the New York Underground Music Institution, and it's in danger of being forced to close down. Our next guest, however, is fighting hard to keep it open. Please welcome the owner and founder of CBGB's, Hilly Crystal, ladies and gentlemen. You are a legend among musicians and fans of music alike. I appreciate what you've done. Can you clear something up for us, though? Because tell us, for the people that don't know, what does CBGB stand for?
Country Bluegrass Blues.
There you go.
Bluegrass Blues.
You know, you have something on your website that says something, it's some sort of joke, country bluegrass gastronomic something. Do you know where I'm talking
does?
About?
No, I didn't know.
That's gotten around
maybe
the internet.
Maybe you're reading it backwards.
Are you talking about Omfug?
Oh, okay. What's Omfug mean?
Other music for uplifting gourmandizers.
Ah!
Gourmandizers.
So that's what it does mean.
People who eat a lot. You know, yeah. A lot of music.
But a lot of people think it means it says something else. So wait,
say other things.
Tell us some of the amazing bands that you've had play here. Who are your favorites of the entire 30-some-odd years that you've been here?
Well, they're all my favorites. You know, nobody especially. You know, of course, the beginning bands, the Ramones, Television, Blondie, Talking Heads, Patti Smith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are the first ones we all remember. So through the years.
Was there a moment you realized folk was?
B-52s, Living Color, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was there a moment you realized folk was dead? Were you just.
Never died.
Okay. So why'd you change the format?
Well, these folk enthusiasts weren't so enthusiastic about coming to the Bowery and tripping over bodies. So,
oh, okay.
Rock and roll people are used to it.
Hilly, how important was the sound system to the development of CBGB's?
Well, the sound system actually was one of the most important things, obviously. I mean, I didn't want to pay $125,000 for a sound system, but my sound engineers were smarter than I was. So, and I paid for it for about 10, 12 years. So, took a while.
But it was worth it. So
yes.
Where does it stand now? Explain to us a little bit about what's going on with this dispute and the threat of closing CBGB's down. What is going on with that? How did it start?
How did the dispute start?
Yeah, what's it about?
Well, it's a non-for-profit organization, the Bowery Residence Committee, that does a great job taking care of the homeless, helping mm-hmm. them, along with many other organizations. And they became my landlord about 12 years ago. And I had a wonderful relationship with them. I felt a very cold, cold breeze about 3.5 years ago. A relationship seemed to be going wrong. I never met the new director. He was inconspicuous. But they started to be a little demanding about this and demanding about that Anyway, I was very uncomfortable, and sure enough, things started popping, and about a little over a year ago, they offered to give me a new lease if I could pay at least double the rent.
Oh, so that's where, so
that's
where
it stands
now.
That's where it
stands. Now, I've actually heard that would you actually take the club to Las Vegas? I mean, I've heard that you might take it to Vegas if it closes down here.
I would. I've talked to a lot of hardcore and punk bands. I said, that would be great. We have a place to go on the way to L.A., a place to go from the way back, away from Seattle. It's a good stop.
Sure.
So they have over a million people there and a lot of, in fact, some underground rock writers say that would be great because they need a good place there. I don't want to.
It'd be interesting if you set it up like the Hard Rock. You know, you could have D.D. Ramone's syringe, and you can have, like, you know, Patti Smith's shoes. But, look, we want to do everything we can to help the club, Hilly. And if you go to savecbgbs.org to find out how you can help and to get involved with this, write some letters, because we want to help you out, Hilly. We want to help the club out. It was great for you to have us here, and I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, wonderful having you here.
A lot of bands are going to be playing to support CBGB's. You got the Misfits, the Vandals, the Dead Boys, They're all going to be playing the next month or so, and now you got Loxley behind us. It's 27 after the hour. You're listening to Morning Session on Air America Radio.
Edition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley on Air America Radio.
Before past the hour, good morning. It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley. You're listening to Air America Radio's Morning Sedition, broadcasting live from CBGB's in New York, the New York home of punk music, the legendary CBGB. Go to savecbgb.org to find out how you can help. There's some trouble. We want to try and keep this club open. We've got the band Loxley, who's been playing behind us all morning. Awesome.
Yeah.
Doing a little Yardbirds number, going out there before. You can go to bandofloxley.com. Don't go to loxley.com, because apparently that's a white supremacist site, and that's a whole different music scene. Our next guest is a regular on David Letterman. You've seen him on TV shows like Law and Order and in many TV commercials. Do you like that credit?
Yeah, I like to think that I'm whoring myself.
And he's appearing this weekend at Caroline's Comedy Club here in New York. Please welcome Jim Gaffigan.
Yeah.
To the show.
Thank you. Thank you. By the way, I just want everyone to know I look like a Republican. I'm not.
Pasty white.
It's a white bread look. I look half Republican, half Mormon. And, not that there's anything wrong with Mormons.
No, there's nothing wrong with
Mormons. They're special people.
They're kind of peculiar. I mean, I got to admit, I'm not going to be judgmental, but they have
But here we go.
Yes, they have a.
They got special underwear.
Yeah, special Mormon underwear, and they have many wives, and they have a gutted mountain where they keep all their information.
You know, a lot of people have that, Mark. You got the gut, the mountain, you know, store the info there.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Salamander tells you what to do.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah, I understand.
Typical standard stuff. But all religions kind of kooky like that.
They are a little kooky.
Yeah, I mean, Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt, and they wandered in the desert for 40 years. I don't know about you, but after a year, I would have been, this Moses doesn't know where the hell he's going. I appreciate him getting us out of Egypt. We're in the desert, folks. As in no agua. After Moses parted the Red Sea, did he say anything? He was like, ta-da!
Woo!
Oh, this guy's going to hell. He's going to hell in three religions. Covers it all there.
Yeah. In the Mormon hell, you can have
just
more than one wife.
There you go. Yeah. That would be special.
So you're going to Chicago. You're taping an hour for Comedy Central?
Taping an hour for the man.
Are you
Comedy
nervous?
Central. I'm just thrilled. You know, Comedy Central, as you know, it's an odd relationship with comics. It's kind of like Comedy Central is kind of like that monolith that is kind of the person that's always hitting on you when you're in a relationship. And then when you finally want to hook up with them, they act all kind of like not interested. Does that make sense? It's just literally just this cycle of abuse that comedians go through. And then they're like, well, you know, I'll hook up with Comedy Central. Comedy Central's like, yeah, no, we're not feeling it right now. So when they finally do it, you're like, oh, thank God.
Is this the first hour, though? This is the first time you did an hour.
Yeah, this is the first time doing an hour. So
it's going to be great, man. Are you going to do it at a theater?
Yeah, I'm doing it at the Vic in Chicago on October 8th. And it's awesome.
Ah, we got somebody.
Yeah. There you go. The two people. Those are the two people going to the show back there. No, but it's a lot of pressure because you want to sell out. You'd hate to do an hour special with like 10 people in the audience.
I'd love that.
You're like, hey, can we cut to that one lady again? Yeah, just cut to her. Okay, she's needle pointing, but that's all right.
Now, Jim, apparently, much like Tom Waits and Jay-Z, you have two CDs coming out at the same time.
I do that, and then
why?
I'm retiring.
You're okay.
Like Jay-Z.
Yeah.
How do I explain this?
With words.
Uh-oh.
I don't know why I have to do this with my pants off. I'm going to go Novak on you guys in a second.
They didn't tell you that's the way we do all the comedians.
Oh, that's special.
It's very vulnerable. You're on the spot here. You get sedition eyes. Sedition eyes.
No, I like to think my attitude is put out an album every month, and maybe some people will hear it and finally come and see it perform. No, it's one of those things where my wife, who I love very much, she
nice
produced the album.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
She might be listening. Special lady. She has gotten very lazy recently, or as she describes it, pregnant. You know? I'm 9 months pregnant. Doesn't mean you can't produce two more CDs. Let's go. We're part of a team now. Well, there's your baby joke. Mark was like, well, do you want to do baby jokes? I'm like, can you make me look more bland? Yeah, I'll do some baby jokes and then the difference between cats and dogs. Would you like to do something?
Wait a minute. Now, I wasn't saying that. I'm a big fan of the Jim Gaffigan. And I thought, baby, you have one. And usually most comics, when a baby comes out, they're like, great, new 10 minutes.
Yeah, it is one of those things. But you're like, I don't want to be one of those baby comics who talks about, you know, kids are crazy. And then like 10 minutes later, you've got like a half hour of baby material.
You know when they roll over and they giggle and then you shake keys and stuff like that?
And they're all geniuses.
They're weird.
People treat you differently when you're holding a newborn, though, especially in strip clubs.
Hey, zing, zang, zing, 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 zang, zing. Gazoink. Gazoink.
People like baby jokes.
Yeah, babies are special. They're very, they're not that intelligent, really.
Now, Jim, you've been doing some television commercial work. Now, I know Marin, when he did his TV commercial, he was tortured for months about, you know, selling out, about, you know, doing something that he really didn't feel. Wasn't that, I mean, is there a line for comics or something?
I rationalized that very effectively.
Oh, okay, you're right, you did.
Because the commercial I did, not unlike you, will just whore himself out for anything.
Yes, yes. Not to be confused with your game show, but go on.
Oh, okay, let me qualify that. I was broke. I had no money, Jim. I had no money, and it was...
I needed to work with the dictator of Chile.
Well, the commercial, now I don't feel like I have
any
defense.
No, I know. I'm a total... Well, the irony is, like, people look at me and they go, yeah, I'd imagine you'd do commercials. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm not like, you know, I'm not a true social center.
Well, the weird thing with me, the thing with me was I never really go out for them because I don't, you know, I'm not good in those situations, in the auditioning for commercial things. Yeah. I can't, I'm condescending. But I was in, I'm sort of like, what? I can't, all right. And they don't want to hire you for that. But I was in Austin, Texas. Yeah. There were six people in the room. These two women come up to me after the show and said, we're shooting a commercial. We want you to do it. And I'm like, I don't really do commercials. They're like, it's for Sprint. And I had that moment where I'm like, I use Sprint. Okay, yeah, I can do the commercial. Yeah.
And then they showed you a gigantic check. And you're like, I could use Sprint more. No, it is. That's the, you know, the irony is the way I rationalize commercials is that, you know, it's like, what, you're going to turn down working for Sprint for one day for a huge amount of money, or you're going to temp, you know, trying to get by, you know, temping for Sprint.
Well, and also, you only have to deal with, like, how many people actually came up to you and said, dude, what the hell, man, commercials? There's your integrity out the window, sellout bastard.
Not many people.
There you go.
Thankfully. But, you know, I have kind of a whorish quality to me.
It's very special. So where are you going? What's the next big gig? Where are you heading?
I'm doing that special, but yeah. I'm at Caroline's this week, which is a room of...
The Caroline's, the circus club. What are people groaning? It's not a bad club, but literally, Caroline's Comedy Club is probably having a comedy show now. That for some reason, have you noticed that thing? Like 20 shows a night.
You do the 2 a.m. show and the 5 a.m., and then maybe if you could sweep up afterwards, that would be good. Sweeping up, there will be somebody walking around with a microphone, so you could do that. No, it's a lot of glamour.
Are you actually moving into this neighborhood? Is that true?
I am moving. I'm moving into a place called CBGB's. No.
The jury's in.
Uh-oh.
No, I'm moving on, I guess on the other side, you know, down the block.
I'm not going to know where you're going to live. You know.
A gajillion dollars.
Really?
The irony is, like, you know, I mean, I don't think anyone in this room ever thought, you know what, one day I'd aspire to live on the Bowery. You know, know, I'll get a heroin addiction. I'll move into a tiny, dirty room.
I did aspire to that when I was younger, actually.
There's a lot of glamour here.
It's beautiful. At least you're not moving into that weird hall of mirrors.
Gigantic building that has, like, a racehorse in it?
Yeah, there's a racehorse in it?
Well, they've just got, like, everything in there. They've got a pool. They've got a racetrack, you know, gillies. They've got a gillies in there. It's this gigantic
mechanical pool, a helipad where you can land a helicopter on
and
top.
And then Deborah Winger comes in crying.
Yeah.
Sad.
She's sensitive. This is Jim Gaffigan. We stay around and we're talking about your baby.
Yeah.
When we come back. We're at CBGB's. We're going to have more Jim coming up. We've got Loxley going to play us out here. It's 43 past the hour. You're listening to Morning Sedition. It's Air America Radio.
Sedition, delivering you from evil in 3 hours or less. Air America Radio.
Past the hour, broadcasting live from CBGB, New York's legendary home of punk rock at the corner of Bowery and Bleecker. Go to savecbgb.org to find out how you can help. It's in danger of closing down. All morning we've had Loxley playing behind us.
Yeah.
You can go to bandofloxley.com to hear and see what they're up to. We got Jim Gaffigan, the comedian, with us. How are you, Jim? Still with us? www.jimgaffigan.com for that. Mark Riley is here, of course.
Where?
They're right there. And now, the Bible's book of Revelations portends the end of days and the second coming of the Christian Messiah. One of our president's favorite stories. Though no one knows when the end times will come, there are signs that will appear to men. Here on Morning Sedition, we won't let you get caught off guard by the end of the world. That's why we present this week's Rapture Watch with MILF Cardinal Milfington of the recently disgraced Diocese of Missoula, Montana. Your grace.
Heed my warnings, thy soiled doves of Balaam. Your dreams have become the sanctuaries of fornicating hermaphrodites. Your wishes the stale, lint-covered mints of Barbara Bush. And your bed the sad resting place of a sweat-soaked Wilford Brimley. Lift your chunky thighs to the light of God, you carb-counting succubi at the withered man-teats of Greta Van Susteren. Thy habitudinous consumers of chiclets and corn nuts, suckers of Otter Pops and that guy who put up the Hamsterdam's webpage. Hamsters spread cholera. Making them dance doesn't change that fact, even if they do have cute names like Peanut. The end times are nigh, ye sticky eaters of milk duds. And the day is soon when Jesus will smite the evil master cylinder along with rock bottom and the professor. Jesus, the Christ, the wonderful, wonderful Christ. Whenever he gets in a fix, he reaches into... Oh, God! Utasamakata patita! Arg, Satan, your power is strong today for conjuring up childhood memories of poorly animated cartoons. Here, Mark, anoint yourself with my complimentary prayer cloth.
Thank you very much, man.
That'll be $5.
All right.
You may recall, heretics, thrice abdominals ago, I told you how an astronomer found the solar system's 10th planet. The same week, a woman sued Denny's for toilet bowl burns. Week after that, I told you how 3,000 customers in Lake Tahoe lost power because of an electrocuted squirrel. And the week after that, I told you just because more people would rather read about a woman's burned rear end than your latest discovery, it doesn't give you carte blanche to vent your anger by tossing squirrels at high-voltage wires. But that's neither Montata nor Cantata Petita. For an even more important end time indicator has occurred, Mark.
Uh-huh.
That's right. 20th Century Fox is making another movie. But wait, there's more. This time it's a remake of The Omen.
Oh.
They're calling it The Omen 666, releasing it on June 6, 2006, and looking for a child to play the part of Damien, son of Satan. Mark, yeah. Casting the part of the Antichrist is a sign of the Antichrist. It's so obvious it's demonic. For it was prophesied in Revelation 54, 40, or fight. And I quoteth, and the day will come when Satan will only produce crappy movies based on schlock hits and bad sitcoms from the 70s. And then something even more irritating will happen. Owen Wilson. End quoted. Where'd I lose you? Here, Mark.
Yeah.
Anoint yourself with another one of my complimentary, prayer cloths.
Oh, thank you. That's two.
That'll be five more bucks.
I'll get you on the other side of this thing.
It's all very simple, Mark.
Yeah.
Do the math.
Okay.
20th Century Fox. June 6th, 2006, 666, add it up. What does it get you?
2,698, Cardinal.
Oh, okay, yeah, but now subtract. Now subtract 2,032, and what do you get?
666.
Bingo! It's so simple, even an emotionally disturbed loner like me who likes to strangle cats could understand it.
Oh.
Wow, where the hell did that come from? Anyway, the rapture is upon us, you misguided Hebrew.
Yeah, all right.
And while you're down in Hades getting your privates pounded by a wiffle ball bat, I'll be sitting at the throne of Jesus and his prized turnip Sam. Until then, fornicators, keep on fornicating, and we'll keep the light on for you. In hell.
Thank you, Cardinal. Thank you very much.
Appreciate that.
That was the Cardinal Milpington portrayed by the lovely Jim Earle. And Jim Gaffigan is still here, too. Can we have some sound on Gaffigan?
That was very special. I felt some sin coming off him a little bit. I think, Cardinal, you should see the movie, a wonderful movie, called Monster-in-Law.
Oh.
It's got J-Lo, and the storyline is captivating.
Are you saying it's a sign of the end?
I think it's kind of like it gives a little hope. Monster-in-Law. You have to check it out. So, J-Lo really does a turn. She has a battle with Jane Fonda.
Yeah.
And the battle is stupendous.
It's terrific.
And I think it really gives us hope for a little salvation, Cardinal.
Well, thanks for the tip. I'll see that along with Geely.
Geely. Special.
Does this look like America, doesn't it?
Yes, it's guys. Special.
Midwestern kind of feel.
White America.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly. That's
there
what I was
go.
Getting for. That's
look out, we're coming back.
Oh, my God.
We're not as dumb as we look.
Apparently, you can go to Loxley.com if you want to look into the Aryan element.
It's special.
The band of Loxley.com if you want to get information on the band.
Yeah, very special.
So am I wrong, Gaffigan, or are
have
are
I
you...
gotten fat?
Yes,
I have. I have put on a little weight, but most of this is a stomach implant, Mark. And occasionally I'll regret it, especially when I'm talking to a woman and I will catch her staring at my stomach. I'll be like, hello, I'm up here. Yeah. Not some piece of flab for you to oogle at. I don't care if I'm in a tube top and I'm rubbing cocoa butter on my belly while I'm riding a unicycle going la, 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 la. We love food in this country, Mark, and we're never satisfied.
You've
got
to tell me.
You know what would be good on this burger? A ham sandwich. Instead of a bun, let's use two donuts. Then we can have it for breakfast. Look out, McGriddle. Here comes the donut ham hamburger. You laugh, but you know there's someone at Dunkin' Donuts going, that's not a bad idea.
Jim Gaffigan, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks, yeah.
He'll be at Caroline's tonight. He'll be at the Vic Theater in Chicago in October. That's, you know, when is that? The tickets will go on sale for that August 6th for the Chicago show. We've got Lawton Smalls coming up. We've got Richard Hell from Richard Hell and the Voidoids. We're broadcasting live from CBGB's. You're listening to Morning's Edition on Air America Radio. It's 57 past the hour. Here's Locksley.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
I'm off the toilet seat with a chance to judge our Peabody Award-winning game show, Wait, Wait, Don't Lie to Me. That's all next time on Franken.
Six past the hour. Good morning. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley there. You're listening to Morning's Edition on Air America Radio. We're broadcasting live from CBGB, New York's legendary home of punk rock at the corner of Bowery and Bleecker. Folks, if you want to help CB save itself, go to savecbgb.org to find out how you can help. We've had the band Locksley playing behind us all day. Go to bandofloxley.com to check out their stuff. Our next guest played CBGB's at the very beginning of the punk rock scene. Rhino Records has just released a retrospective of his work featuring music from his time with the Voidoids, the Neon Boys, and Television, among others. It's called Spurts, the Best of Richard Hell. We're pleased to welcome punk rock pioneer Richard Hell to the show.
Yeah.
How are you, man?
I'm all right.
You
I'm
feel?
All right. Good to be here.
Yeah,
this looks kind of clean though. I thought you were going to be next door.
Oh, sorry.
Uh-oh.
Apparently they, it was too dirty over there. You were there at the very beginning. You must have been of that particular scene. What was it like when punk first started and was, you know, shifting this neighborhood and that club?
Well, you know, it's funny because I was just realized this week, you know, with this CD coming out, I've been having to do promotion and. Something got set up where I was supposed to do an interview with a magazine that was going to take pictures in places that I associated with that era. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird. I don't really even. It's kind of like I don't really like thinking about that time that much. But I keep being forced to. You know, it's like Groundhog Day where. Every morning I wake up 30 years in the past. You know? They wanted to do that.
Yeah.
And they wanted me to name a bunch of locations where we could go do pictures, and then I could talk about, you know, why I associated that location with
the music.
You know, punk rock whatever.
Yeah.
And there weren't any left.
That's so sad.
CBGB's is the only one.
Oh, you know, so
CBGB's the only one. So yeah, I mean, I think it's important to preserve it. I mean, it hasn't changed at all.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is that back then, it was a complete filthy hole, right? And it hasn't changed at all. And
that's the way rock and roll is supposed to be played.
But you know, somehow. That's become, it actually has become beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a funny how that works.
It's a beautiful filthy hole.
I mean, in America, everything gets torn down all the time.
Right.
Everything has to be new.
Right.
But it's something I've noticed for a while is that things that are really ugly, somehow.
Last forever.
Well, yeah. Well, not enough of them.
Yeah.
Things that are really ugly, mm-hmm. Once they get old, are beautiful again.
Absolutely.
I remember when I was a kid and the...
People say that about Riley.
Yes, thank you. Pop to you, pal.
It doesn't work with people.
Yeah.
It works with cars and buildings.
Yeah. People would just get sad eventually.
Yeah.
Don't think about it too much.
I can't think.
So when you were working, when you used to play, I didn't, you know, I just, I was a big fan of a lot of music that came out of there.
Right, yeah.
No, but I came to it much later. I literally didn't listen to this stuff at the time it happened. I had to read Legs McNeil's book to even get hip to the entire scene. So on any given night, you know, at CB's and what was going on out in front of the club.
Nobody knew about it at the time.
Right.
Yeah,
oh, good.
People think that it was making a big splash. Nobody knew about it. It was very private. CBGB was like a local, it was like a little clubhouse, you know.
Uh-huh.
It was like, it was completely isolated and shut off.
I mean, yeah, nobody used to come over here back then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, and on any given night, like, oh, how about a better question? Like, who were, like, because I start out with a bunch of comics. I know what scenes are like when they start out. Who was, like, the douchebag? You know what I mean? Who was the sort of like, they're like, oh, no, David Byrne's here. Which one was it?
That's a good choice.
Ooh, that's rough.
Yeah, I know. It's like, man, people want the dirt. Right?
Yeah, well, why not?
Yeah, yeah.
Bitterness is good. I think it's healthy. Who were the, like, on any given... Yeah. Yeah, well, they weren't always successful. But I've noticed that some people who get successful are actually that way before. And that's one of the reasons why they get successful.
I like comedians much better than rock and roll musicians.
Yeah, why?
Well, I just think it's probably the hardest thing to do. Like, I wish... I sometimes think maybe I'd get plastic surgery and change my name and try to be a comedian.
You can do it. You can be a comedian now. It's not, that's the beautiful thing about comedies. It's not relative to age or youth. You can be, you know, old and weird. And
right, but you have to be, like, fast and clever. And,
well, that's true.
Yeah.
What do you got, Riley?
You know, you mentioned earlier you don't like to talk that much about the past. So let's talk about the future. What the future?
Look into the Richard Boyd, the Richard Hell crystal ball.
Oh, yeah, look into the Richard Hell crystal ball. I mean, is there more music still in you?
Well, we're trying to get it removed.
So bring it out. Do you want to record other things? Do you have other ideas in your head?
I'm a writer now, you know. I don't really play music anymore. I mean, nobody will meet my terms.
Yeah.
What
do you mean?
I'm very demanding, and, you know.
Yeah.
You don't want to. They insist that people buy your records.
The bastards! Yeah, that is a problem when you pick a career in music. Richard, I just want to, do you have, we mentioned Malcolm McLaren earlier, and we mentioned that, you know, he literally stole your look to move the entire punk fashion scene
forward.
Everything
in all art is theft. I mean,
okay.
I was hoping for some more
resentment, but I guess we're just going to get the philosophical thing now. I thought I was at least going to get that bastard took everything.
Yeah.
No?
Sorry.
Okay, so folks, the Rhino Records has just released, as I said, a retrospective of Richard Hell's work, featuring music from his time with the Voidoids, Neon Boys, Television, among others. And I think it is going to make a couple of bucks. It's called Spurts, the Best of Richard Hell. Thanks for being with us. I'm really happy.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to come back. We got Lawton Smalls. We got Loxley back here. We're going to play us out. You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. It's 14 past the hour.
So you can burn me down. The little boys, the little girls and boys. Why do they gather? La, 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 for you. Well, you should know, she said, honey, you should know. You should have heard the sound, sound. The cavalry and the mama, did she play? She turned the party out. Oh, you. And I.
MorningSedition.com. Our guests, our comedy, your vlog. MorningSedition.com. Air America Radio.
Team past the hour. Good morning. It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hey.
Morning's edition on Air America Radio, broadcasting live from CBGB here in New York on Bleecker and Bowery, the legendary birthplace of punk rock music in America. They're having some trouble. We're going to talk to Jean Beauvoir in a little while. He is the he's one of the big guys behind the effort to save Little Stevie. Not save Little Steven. Little Steven is not going to be here, but he's Little Steven's partner in the Underground Garage show that Little Steven does. And he's also been a big advocate for saving CBGBs. He was also the bass player for the Plasmatics. Some of you might remember them. If not them, at least Wendell Williams, who was the lead singer. What a trip she was, man. I remember having that record. I don't remember what was on it. Right now, since our president is openly operating in a different reality, we think it's important that Americans know what's happening in his alternate universe. Luckily, as you all know, we have a staffer who lives in that world. So here now is Planet Push Bureau Chief Lawton Smalls.
Hey, good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Lawton.
Mark, when people use the expression godforsaken, they're talking about this neighborhood. What are we doing here?
What's wrong with it, Lawton?
I feel like I need disinfectant and an axe handle just to walk on this block. I mean, you know what would help that sad little club next door?
What?
A bulldozer, okay? Somebody ought to level that thing and put up... I'm right. Come on. And put up something useful like a Lady Foot Locker or Walmart or something like that. A Cinnabon. You know what CBGB should stand for? Couldn't you build... a giant Bennigan.
Oh, no.
Because you could. Right here, this would be a beautiful place.
All right. Okay, Lawton. All right.
Onion rings.
So, buddy, I heard that you used their connections here at the show, and you went and saw a little screening last night.
Yes, I did. Media event. I went to see the Dukes of Hazzard. Mark. And, you know, finally, a movie where people talk like real Americans. So I was excited about that. One of the most disappointing nights of my life, Mark.
Wow. What
disappointing.
What happened, Lawton?
I agree with Crazy Cooter on this one. Sleazy liberal Hollywood producers have besmirched the integrity, honor, and good, clean family fun of the Dukes of Hazzard. Just dunked it right in filth, Mark.
Oh, come on. What do you mean?
Filth.
What are you talking about?
All right. Daisy Duke.
Yeah.
She's played by this Jessica Simpson woman. Now, I'm not familiar with her work, which I assume is servicing lonely truck drivers along I-70. In this movie, you see more of her gluteals than a gynecologist. I felt like they should have given me a speculum up there. Daisy Duke, co-opted by the gay agenda.
Oh,
you can just see it. Big as life up there.
All right. What else? What else?
Uncle Jesse.
Yeah.
Willie Nelson, dope fiend. All right? His eyes were red through the whole thing. I bet he doesn't even remember making this film.
Oh, come on.
Stoned.
Come on. Let it out, buddy.
All right. Bo Duke.
Yeah.
Johnny Knoxville. And for a second, I thought, hey, great name, buddy. Knoxville.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And then I found out he was on Jackass. That's one of them shows where they abuse their private parts with a staple gun for fun. And they think that's funny. Debased and perverted.
Oh, come on, Lawton. Come
Luke
on.
Luke Duke. Sean William Scott. He was in all those American Pie movies where the nasty kid put his what-you-call-it into baked goods. Now, come on. Couldn't they have found some nice people at Bob Jones University to be in this?
Come on.
Filthy. Come filth on. And depravity.
Uh-huh. So, wait. Let's just talk for a minute. What about Burt Reynolds? I mean, he's in it. Surely you gotta love Burt Reynolds.
Well, I did. But Boogie Nights killed that movie.
Oh, come on.
Porn.
Come on.
Broke my heart because I love Smokey and the Bandit. All of them.
The movie, the dudes, it just looks like a dumb comedy. What are you so upset about, Lawton?
It mocks the Southern people, and it demeans Southern culture, Mark. Most of the time, liberal Hollywood just ignores us. Stop that. They ignore us or they talk down to us. They think the way we talk is funny. Will you tell me, Mr. Comedian, what is funny about the way Southerners talk? Is this funny to you?
You really want to know, or...
I'm moving on. And when Hollywood finally comes off their high horse to finally make a film about our people, it's none of them but the crudest, most vulgar stereotypes. Look at Hustle and Flow,
what?
Mark. I've been to Memphis. I've never seen any pimps, Mark. And I do not listen to crunk.
Whoa.
All right?
Hey,
Toby Keith.
Lawton, all comedy. Toby I got to be honest with you. All good comedy
yeah,
is based,
tell me about
is
comedy.
Based at least on one, on just some truth, my friend. There is truth.
Truth.
There. Mm-hmm.
Based on truth. Now, what are you saying?
Well, even a movie like Dukes of Hazzard is based on some real behavior, some genuine regional tendencies. Maybe you're unhappy about the movie because it was a little too real for you.
Too real?
Yeah, maybe it hit a nerve, Lawton.
Too real?
Yeah. How about that, buddy?
It was so real. That movie was like a documentary of my life. I have an Uncle Jesse. He is a pothead, okay? My sheriff growing up, his name, Boss Hogg. Just like my life. If this is the way we... Mark, mm-hmm. If this is the way we really look, then we're morons. Okay? I don't think I've ever been so scared to see a movie before. I'm looking up there and I'm going, ah, no! Not my family! Get off that screen! Stop it!
Oh, man.
Just a good old boy.
Oh, no.
Never meaning no
harm. No, wait, don't sing, man. Please. It was just a movie, buddy. You got to detach a little, man. All right,
Wait.
Not every Southerner is like the Dukes of Hazzard, okay? Just take it easy. Not even close. All right, buddy? Okay.
It scared me, Mark.
Okay, buddy. But just pull it together. We're on the radio here. You know that. You all right? Uh-huh.
Ah!
Yeah.
You know, at least they could have gotten that Jessica some shorts that covered her whole caboose. You know, that booty was right 20 feet high and right in my face. I felt violated
oh,
by that
thing.
Oh, come on. I said, take it off.
Goodbye,
Lawton.
Take it off. Goodbye. I've had enough.
God loves you.
Yes.
Deal with it.
I'm trying.
Making their way. The only way they know how.
That, of course, the brilliant Ken Jones of Lawton Smalls.
Yeah.
Ken Jones and the monster he created. Oh, man. So, again, you know, we are broadcasting from CBGB's, and there is an issue as to, you know, whether or not it's going to be able to stay open. There's a lot of speculations that the landlord is going to shut it down to sell the air or at least lease the property for double the money. And it's obviously very important that we keep it open. We've got some Ramones fans here. We've got a lot of CBGB's fans here. And if you go to savecbgb.org, you can find out how you can help. You know, save this place. Rock and roll is important, you know?
Yeah,
listen to me. Look at this, I'm like an old guy. Hey, man. Rock and roll is important. That's why we got the...
the high. It's taken over all the sky. One last request before I die. Just let them know I said good.
Morning Sedition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley on Air America Radio.
Past the hour, it's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley, Fair America Radio's Morning Sedition, broadcasting live from CBGB's. That's here in New York on Bowery and Bleecker. It's a legendary birthplace of punk rock. We're going to be talking in a moment, hopefully, if he gets out of traffic, Jean Beauvoir, who's going to is sort of active in saving CBGB's. You know, and we've, folks.
Here he comes.
The band Loxley has been playing with us all morning, and they've been doing a great job. You can go to bandofloxley.com to hear what they're up to. But excellent job, fellas. You know, you're living my dream playing behind a radio show in the morning. I'm serious, and you have been doing a great job. But again, bandofloxley.com. So you made it. Our guest has made it.
I made it. How you doing?
I remember you now. He was the bass player of the Plasmatics.
That's right.
I remember
me.
The record.
I had a blonde mohawk at the time.
He's been a strong advocate along with his friend little Steven Van Zandt, who couldn't make it today. He had he got called in to shoot The Sopranos. I've heard that one before. Yeah, it's 5 in the morning. They got a call. Yeah, right. Where is he? All right. Please welcome Jean Beauvoir to the
yeah, how you doing?
To the show.
Thanks for all being here so early. Cool. All right, man.
So wait, let me refresh my memory. The Plasmatics, she did a thing with a chainsaw too, right, Wendell Williams?
That's right.
And she used to wear tape on her nipples,
right? That's right.
And she had the mohawk. That was an insane album. The cover had a swimming pool or something on it, didn't it?
Yeah,
on
it was in a swimming pool. In the swimming pool.
I never got past the cover. I was so blown away by the cover. I don't think I ever played the record. So now how are you involved with what's going on here, you and little Steven? Why don't you give us a little...
Well, for one thing, there's some history. One of the Plasmatics, also I produced the Ramones.
I was
involved in the whole punk movement, everything that happened over here. But at the same time, I also help run the company, you know, Steven's company.
Okay.
So we're involved in the whole Save CBGB's campaign.
And where's that at now? What's the plan?
All right. So we're doing the best we can. All right, you know. Yeah. We're working hard. We're working hard to make it happen, you know. So we did the last event that we did last Monday, which was got a lot of press coverage. It was a great thing. And then we're doing something on the 31st in Washington Square Park.
Now, you know, John, I read this article. Really kind of made my blood boil. It was in the New York Post. It essentially said, look, you know, they don't break any new bands here anymore. Let it die.
Yes.
How do you respond to people who say, you know, that CBGB's is no more deserving of you know, being protected or staying open than any of the other clubs that have closed around New York recently?
Well, you know, the club here, we need this. We need this in the industry. That's the reason why we have no new rock bands, right? We have some, but we barely, you know, U2, we have bands like U2, Bruce Springsteen. These are still the bands that are coming out, that are out there right now, you know, and we need...
Wait, hold on, let me write those down. U2.
You know what I'm saying? No, this is still a venue that can, you know, allow new bands to emerge.
Hasn't it been hard for new bands, though, because a lot of these venues are now beholden to, like, Clear Channel. They're beholden to record companies. I know that Clear Channel actually sends out stooges to bully people who are running, you know, smaller clubs that aren't affiliated with record companies. I mean, it's hard to be just an independent rock club anymore.
Yeah, well, it is, and that's why we're having this problem right now.
Yeah.
You know?
So now where is the battle at? What can people do to get involved?
Write letters to the mayor.
Okay, there you go. You can do that. SaveCBGBs.org. You can find out what's going on.
That's
you can
right.
write letters to the mayor. Now, where the hell is little Steven? Let's be honest.
He's shooting somebody.
Okay. What can the mayor do? I mean, in this instance, isn't this a beef between a landlord and a tenant? What can the city do?
Well, it is. But the mayor can kind of put pressure on the person.
Well, maybe little Steven can shoot the landlord. Taking it to the streets, people.
The mayor has power. If he wants the venue to stay here, it will stay here.
If we can convince him that it is a landmark and it is essential to the fabric of what New York once was before Giuliani made it a theme park, then maybe. This is an old style ride. You know,
I like that. The theme park.
But you know, what strikes me is that so much memorabilia, so many things about New York's past have become corporatized. You know, there are corporations that own venues, and people go in, and tourists come in, and they see a T-shirt that somebody wore 30 years ago, and they figure that's culture. Can CBGBs remain independent of that whole corporate nostalgia thing?
I think it can. It can. That's up to the owner. That's up to Hilly. And I think Hilly wants it to remain independent. So, yeah.
I'm going to buy me a nice baseball shirt before I leave.
we support
the place. Why not?
We were talking to Hilly about the possibility of it going to Vegas. I just keep picturing, if they did it a Planet Hollywood or a Hard Rock Cafe where you actually have some of the mementos of punk's history. That'd be kind of nasty, wouldn't it? Just Wendell Williams nipple tape. You know,
I think the G-string's in the window.
So you've been with Lil Steven as far back as the Sun City record?
Further back than that. We met in 82. I played with the Disciples of Soul. Right after I left the Plasmatics.
We
stayed friends throughout the years, and, you know, we separated. We haven't worked together for quite a while. I came back with them about 2 years ago.
So you had some success with the Sun City thing. I mean, that really made a difference. You were able to stop people from playing Sun City.
He was able to. He definitely was able to do it. That's right.
I had that record, too.
That's right. Yeah.
That was like the cool We Are the World record.
John, a lot of people are under the impression that there was no black presence in punk. Talk about that for a minute. There wasn't there? I mean, besides you, you're African.
There wasn't until I joined the
club. He was there. He's here.
No, but I mean guys like Jimmy Worrell and other guys.
Bad Brains.
That's right. Living Color. Right. I saw next door Living here. Color. I knew Vernon Reed years ago.
That's right. But that's a while afterwards. But at the beginning, it's true. There wasn't. I mean, I had a blonde mohawk, and it was very difficult living in New York City with a blonde mohawk. It's a black man, I tell you.
But I'll bet you, though, some people in this neighborhood, that's how they remember you. It's like, do you know me? No, blonde mohawk. Oh, yeah, there you're that guy.
They tried to kick me out of my building and everything.
So who are some of the people going to be playing? What's the scene at Washington Square Park, and what's the date of that?
It's August 31st. Right now we're still working on the lineup, but it's going to be very interesting. We have some great people involved.
You don't know who you're thinking about.
I don't want to say anything right now.
Contracts have not been signed.
Keep going to our website. Keep going to the CBGB's website, and we'll get all the information.
You could probably get Richard Hell to host it if you want to. He wants to get into comedy.
That's too easy.
It's not going to have the clip that you're used to in comedy, but you know,
this guy.
So, are you playing at all? Are you on any records coming out soon?
Actually, the last thing I did, it was the Christmas with the Cranks record that we did.
Okay.
Basically, so I wrote the title song for
that. Oh, that was that movie.
And did that thing, that's right. And that's about it. But pretty much I've been devoting most of my time to the company and really just trying to help to build this new infrastructure for rock and roll, man. We're just trying to keep rock and roll alive.
The rock and roll infrastructure.
That's right,
prepared.
Baby.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, it's what we need.
They cannot fix the FDR, but we will fix the infrastructure of rock
and
roll.
That's what we need.
That's right. CBGB's.
And that's why CBGB's is such a big part of, it's so close to what we're doing, as a company.
Right on. John Beauvoir, thank you very much for being
here.
We got
it.
Thank you very much. SaveCBGB.org is the website to find out how you can help and keep it filthy. We want to keep it filthy. We want to keep it just the way it was. Right now, let's have Loxley play some music. We got Pendejo the Revolutionary coming up. We might even talk about some news. I don't know. It might happen. It's 42 past the hour. You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio live from CBGB.
That's just what this boy needs, knows what to do when she's with me. She's just thinking of you. She's never gonna love me. Still she's leading me about. She's never gonna love me. I'll be seeing myself out. Yeah. And then
Morning Sedition, Mark Maron and Mark Riley.
Don't just stare at it, eat it.
On Air America Radio.
Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley. You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio, broadcasting live from CBGB here in New York City. It is the home of punk rock music. It is in a little bit of danger of closing down. Go to SaveCBGB.org to find out where you can help. The band Loxley has been jamming behind us all day. You can get their CD at cdbaby.com. You can also go to bandofloxley.com to hear some samples of what they're doing. We've also been giving away subscriptions to Film Movement all morning, so you can visit filmmovement.com if you want to get involved with that thing. They keep sending me. I got some good movies from them.
Yeah?
He said, plugging the sponsor.
Yeah. Hey, Maren.
Yeah.
You're probably not going to believe this, but Pendejo the Revolutionary.
Pendejo the Revolutionary.
You want to talk to him? He's right here.
Yes, I want to talk to him. Hey, man, long time no see. So how's the thing? Come on, say it for me, dude.
The Revolution!
Yes! Yes, he's back! There we go. That's my old Pendejo. You're full of the beans again, my friend. What happened?
I have given up women, Mark. Their tender, quivering flesh was making me weak and sapping me of my revolutionary essence.
Ah, oh, yeah. I know how that goes. So dating is over and the revolution is back on.
See, Mark. Once again, it's me and Stompers.
Your Shih Tzu.
Who cannot be left alone. Mm-hmm.
So you're giving up on finding a girlfriend, slash revolutionary, slash lieutenant. Is that the deal? So where's all the energy coming from, my friend? You seem all juiced up. Where are you getting the inspiration from?
Mark, after traipsing about my inner landscape and taking an internet aptitude test, I found that I was...
Let it out, baby.
I was born to rock!
An aptitude test tells you that?
It was the Cream Magazine aptitude test. I found it in 1976 issue with Thin Lizzy on the cover. Mark, music is the true revolutionary force.
All right, man. Yeah, man. Yeah.
Did you know there were fistfights when they first played Stravinsky's Rite of Spring?
No, I didn't know that.
They couldn't handle it, Mark. The tonalities were too radical for the bourgeois ears to accept at the time.
So is that right? So you're going to use music to affect change? I mean, that's great, man. Like Bob Dylan, Public Enemy, The Clash.
Yes, I'm sure I will discover those and many more bands on my journey. And I understand one or two musicians have even played in this very room, Mark. Is that correct?
Yes.
Here at Sibigabas?
That's CBGB's, Pendejo.
Oh, CBGB's. Well, Mark, thanks for telling me that sort of insider hipster lingo will burnish my image as a guitar god. Or, in my case, clarinet god.
Oh, really? You play the clarinet? I hate to break it to you, buddy. That's not very rock and roll, man.
Oh, I beg to differ. Shall I throw down the name Pete Fountain? Or Woody Herman and his thundering herd? Are you telling me they don't rock?
Well, yeah, actually. I think I am telling you that. You need to check out some bands that did play here. How about like the Ramones, Television, the New York Dolls, Patti Smith, Suicide, Richard Hell and the Voidoids?
Are they here now, Mark? Can I meet them? Perhaps there is a secret VIP room where they are all fornicating. Perhaps you can get me inside.
Yeah, even if that was the case, I'm pretty sure you wouldn't be invited, my friend.
Nonsense, Mark. I've put pen to paper. I've written songs. Listen to this. Yo, Stompers, I have something to say. Flip the police. Flip them. Flip them over. Flip the police.
That's more of a gangster rap kind of thing. This is historically a punk venue.
Oh, I see more punk. Yeah, I see. Yes, I have one about abortion. Flip this and flip that. I don't want a baby who looks like that. I'm an abortion.
Yeah. Yes, you are, Pendejo.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Mark. I can feel the anger rising in the room. And another thing, I will do the occasional cover, Mark.
Uh-huh.
Doop, de-doop, 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 doop, de-doop.
That's great stuff, man. It really is. You're a big, bad punk rock revolutionary, you. You really are, buddy. So while all these creative juices are flowing, maybe this is a good time to, go home, organize your thoughts, get out some paper, and, you know, sort of, you know, not be here, maybe?
Really? Is it that good?
Oh, yeah, man. It's great. It's great, Pendejo. Now hurry. Hurry up and get home.
Okay, Mark. Viva la revolución!
That's the brilliant Tom Johnson and his creation, Pendejo the Revolutionary. Got some great writers, great creative people on our show.
Yeah.
Don't we, Riley?
Yes, we do.
So, Mark, now tell us a little bit about the drum corps event you're going to be going to this weekend. I think that's fascinating.
You don't want to talk about Al-Qaeda and
Zawahiri?
Okay,
let's talk about Al-Qaeda.
I'll talk about the drum corps stuff if you want. No, I'm an accommodating guy.
Maybe we can hit both.
Okay.
You know what's weird, though, that we got that travel warning that came in yesterday when we were on the air. The travel warning was about 9 o'clock. They issued a travel warning for Americans in Britain or traveling to Britain. And then like 2 hours later, bam, the big video.
Yeah, the big video. This is the seventh video or audio tape
that Zawahiri, who's supposed to be bin Laden's number two guy, has sent out since September 11th, which is roughly the same number of press conferences Bush has had since September 11th. Now, I don't know, you know, exactly whether there's any coincidence there. He is, of course, blaming Tony Blair, blaming the Americans for the attacks in London and for any continued carnage that goes on inside Iraq. I guess pretty typical stuff on a certain level, but again, this is not about, you know, Bush always says, well, they hate our freedom, they hate a particular set of policies. That's what they hate.
The only difference was Al-Zawahiri sporting the black turban this time,
yeah.
Not the white turban.
Well, yeah, that gets to be, you know, the whole fashion thing, a black turban, the usual Kalashnikov in the corner, his robes were this. I mean, it now gets into a fashion statement.
Hey, fellas, I just wanted to say I wanted to thank the band Loxley for coming down.
Yeah.
Kai, Jesse, Sam, Evan, Eric, Aaron.
Evan, Eric, Aaron.
What is it? Aaron. Aaron. Oh, that's it. Go to what is it? Now I'm like, it's not in front of me. Bandofloxley.com, and you can get their CD at cdbaby.com. Yeah. How do you like that? What?
iTunes Music Store.
iTunes. Oh, big time. Uh-oh. Mr. iTunes.
Whoa.
Okay, I get it. Will you sign it for me, man?
For you, Mark.
Oh, that's so nice. So, there's the fax machine from the Streisand compound. Here's your liberal agenda for the weekend. So write these down, marching orders, write down, liberal soldiers. One, tell your neocon boss you're taking a five-week vacation, just like his boyfriend, President Bush. Two, make sure you support Robert Novak's right to free speech by asking CNN to show the clip of his meltdown over and over and over again. Three, start free Manhattan shuttle service for Middle Eastern men to counteract subway racial profiling. Four, when writing reviews for the new Dukes of Hazzard movie, use the term red state centric. Five, celebrate astronaut Steve Robinson's repair job on the space shuttle, then call him a scab for taking work away from unionized space mechanics. Today's phrase, just drop it into conversation. The day they take CBGBs, they'll have to pry it from my cold, dead fingers. Wake up, sheeple. Rock and roll is a bush repellent.
Yeah, there you go.
I want to say thanks to the CBGB staff and everyone who was here early, including the bartenders. They did a great job. You can get the CBGB coffee table book right now, available from Abrams Press. Also, our guest earlier, Richard Hell, has a new book out called God Likes Philosopher Poets. You might want to check that out. There we go. There's more. Yes. I'm going to be at the Giggles Comedy Club tomorrow night in Seattle, Washington, for two shows. I'll be on Conan O'Brien today. Riley's going to take the weekend listening to drum corps music.
I'm going to love it. But you know what we got next week? We got this. Whoa!
Go ahead.
We got Bob Lowe, we got Cy Hurst, we got a lot. This is Air America Radio.
Maybe he was wrong, but then she fooled him all along. It was a bad mistake. Yet even right away, that was a mantra for the day.
Morning Sedition on